Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Energy Stoners Cafe. I'm really happy to be here, and I'm so happy that you're actually joining me once again. Tonight, I have a special guest. Her name is Jessica Clark. That's J-E-S-K-A Clark. She is actually someone that's embarked on two different things we're going to talk about. First, I want to talk about this really extraordinary clothing line that she has that I feel it's something that everybody will be interested in. And also, we're going to talk about some other future aspirations she has because she is an astronaut candidate, you know, to actually do space travel. And we're going to talk about those two things. First, though, I'm going to introduce her. Her name is Jessica Clark. She's a lovely young woman. And thank you for being on the show, Jessica.
Thank you so much, TQ. It's such an honor to be on this podcast, finally.
Well, finally, it's an honor for me to interview you. And when I met you a number of years ago, you were just like just a child, really, literally, in terms of years. But you were very young. I think you were a tween at the time.
I believe so.
You could just see in Jessica that she was going places. You know, it's not anything in particular that she said, but she just exuded this energy of like success, aspiration, intelligence, creativity, and all those wonderful things. So, Jessica,
thank you.
You have a clothing line, and it's called No Porter Series.
Yes, it's called No Porter Series.
How did you come up with that name for your clothing? What? Tell us about the line.
So, it has a very unique story of how No Porter Series started. So, I go on different expeditions around the world. So I've been through the Himalayas, I've been to the Alps, and a couple of the highest peaks in the United States, so the 14ers. And this actually started in the Himalayas a few months ago when I was in Nepal. And me and my friends, we were trekking through the Himalayas, and it was absolutely gorgeous. You can smell the pine trees and see hundreds of feet up. You can just see mountains as far as you can see. And No Porter Series came about is when me and my friends, we trekked through without a guide or a porter. And I thought it was ironic because we were able to carry all of our stuff on our backs. So it's called backpacking. So we're just backpacking through the Himalayas. And we use the trails to find our way to each one of the lodges throughout the whole entire trail. And I thought it was very empowering to be able to carry everything on your back. And I, during the trek, I was like, you know what? I would like to have a sticker series. I wanted to be a sticker series initially, and it became into a whole line of clothing and apparel.
So what do you mean when you say a sticker series?
I wanted it to be just stickers. So I took a lot of the designs came from photos I took throughout this trek and other adventures that I've gone through throughout my life. And I've collaborated with different artists in the local areas. And Nepal, I am contracting with an artist there to develop the pictures I've taken into an artistic design that I put on t-shirts or on stickers. So the sticker series, I wanted it to be only stickers, but then I decided, you know what, this will look great on a shirt instead of a sticker. So that's how No Porter Series started.
So No Porter Series is basically that you can carry everything on your back. And I noticed the line, if someone can actually go to your website, they go to noporterseries.com.
Yes.
And I'll tell the audience that when you go there, you'll say, wow, this stuff is very special. It's not what you would normally expect to see on an apparel site. Now, how did you go about, you just went into a little bit about how you went about choosing the images, but how did you go about choosing the clothing and in terms of who you're using to print, the company you're using to print this art on? Tell me about the company you chose to feature your art and why you chose it.
There's a company online, it's Printful, or actually I use Printful, but then I also go to different distributors around the United States. They show me what type of products they have. And I say, okay, I would like a t-shirt, but I want it to be an organic cotton t-shirt. And I show them the design and then they can print it on there. So every t-shirt is printed for the customer. So no one t-shirt looks exactly the same as the other. They don't have the same design on it, but it might look a little bit more towards it would fit you. So it might wrap around a little bit differently. So it's very unique and it's catered to the customer.
Okay, so it sounds like there's an organic component to the design of your pieces.
Yes, exactly. And the great thing about North Porter series is that it's not just shopping for leggings, t-shirts. We also have bags as well, but it's also like purchasing with a purpose. So every purchase, it plants a tree in the world. A lot of the customer base with North Porter series are athletes, travelers, people who like to go outdoors and who are very adventurous. So usually if you're a traveler, you care about the environment or seeing wonderful sights and smells. So with a purchase of planting a tree, it helps deforestation and a better well-being for the planet and personal health. That's one of the things that we like to do.
So if someone were to actually purchase something from the No Porter series, they can rest assured that their purchase is going to contribute to something good.
Exactly.
That's nice. And, you know, it's really a great idea because a lot of times people that aren't necessarily shoppers, like people that shop or spend thrifts or whatever, when you know that what you're buying is going to something good, that can tip the scales as to whether you buy it or not. Now, do you also do other things with the No Porter series in terms of featuring artwork besides just apparel, or could someone just assume it will be for apparel?
It's mostly apparel. So it's mostly t-shirts, leggings, and bags. I mean, we do have bags, and then we have stickers as well. We have tumblers. It's a wide range of products. Anything that you would really need to go out and be adventurous or go out for your next workout, it's available at the No Porter series website. Going to the gym, there's leggings for women. Soon there's going to be shorts for men, t-shirts, water bottles, tumblers. It's available. So that's where the product end is.
So as part of the criteria for items you feature, it sounds like you try to use natural fibers. And I imagine that you make things that have some durability or some resistance to the weather. Like, what about people that do hiking? You said you're in the Himalayas. It's cold up there. That I know, you know. So how does your line stand up to, you know, weather conditions? What would a person need to know?
Well, we usually use cotton or organic fibers. Sometimes we use polyester. But to withstand cold, when you're in high elevation locations, it's about layering. So you can use one of the leggings as a base layer, one of the t-shirts as a base layer, and then you can have an insulated jacket or a soft shell, a hard shell over it. So it's used as a base, as a foundation. And that's also one of the principles of having that foundation of, you know, going outside your comfort zone. You need to have a base to take that responsibility. No Porter series is like the starting point to your next adventure, to your next tour around the city, if that's something that you're into. It's that start.
It's interesting, and I think it's very purposeful. I like that. And, you know, I have to segue to the fact that you're actually an astronaut candidate, and I can't help thinking, well, okay, it's cold up on the moon, especially on the dark side. And so I'm wondering if part of the design that you do and part of the materials that you choose are really thinking, you know, a bit forward, you know, years forward, and maybe the No Porter series could be like the apparel of choice for space exploration. Can you imagine? I can imagine it. You have your No Porter base. So when you go to the cold, dark side of the moon, and I hear it's really dark on the dark side and cold.
It would be more as a, yeah, definitely a base layer and then your flight suit and everything. It's more if you want to feel a little fashionable in your space suit. But you were mentioning about me being in the Kerashnot, it's a competition. So what it is a craft astronaut competition with a private organization called Advancing X. And what its purpose is to take an optimal team to go on a spaceflight mission in lower Earth orbit or beyond. Cool. So it's a competition, international. You need your scuba diver license, a scuba diving certification, and potentially your pilot's license. So I'm learning to be a pilot right now.
Okay.
And with this competition, you go through similar team-based activities with your chosen team. So a lot of lava tunnels or underwater exercises, drone rescues, along the lines of that, to have that optimal team. And so when you're in an emergency situation or when you're going in to spaceflight, you'll be in sync with everybody.
Why scuba diving certification?
Scuba certification?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is for, mostly for claustrophobia. So if you're wearing a regulator and goggles, that's similar to wearing a space helmet, because your face has to be enclosed in this small area. So it's for claustrophobia and also walking in a microgravity environment. So when you're walking underwater, it's similar to if you're doing a spacewalk on the International Space Station or on the moon.
Okay, so the resistance of the water. I wonder if the resistance of space is like that. You think there'd be no resistance in space, but have you ever done any kind of orbiting, any kind of space orbit, any lower atmospheric, whatever you said before, lower atmosphere of the, around the Earth, the planet Earth? Have you done this? Or you sound like you're very comfortable with the whole idea of it.
I've been mentally preparing for this for a long time, and I have not done anything yet, but I have trained in different environments. So in high elevations, I've done a lot of underwater missions.
Yeah.
Just a lot of resilience. That's what you need to go into a microgravity environment, is resilience and teamwork and being able to work with other people and communicating effectively. So throughout my life, I've had a lot of training in different, mostly in my personal life, but also in my professional life now. I'm enrolled in a few programs like the Career Astronaut Competition and another project called Project Possum. And they walk you through different simulations of what it would be like in a microgravity environment or in team dynamics.
That sounds very interesting. I imagine that I'm wondering, there used to be something like going into space was something that the man always thought about or a boy would always think about. So are there a lot of women in the program? What's the proportion to women and men in the space program at this point in time?
I'm not exactly sure what the exact statistics are, but I know recently NASA and a couple other space agencies are incorporating a more of a female presence in their astronaut programs. So it's definitely increasing, and diversity is increasing as well. So that is very comforting to be able to look at future NASA missions like the Artemis mission and see, okay, it's 50-50 men and women.
Now that's like so appropriate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's almost as appropriate as 60-40 women and men. I'm just saying. No, yeah, that's very appropriate. It is
very appropriate. And it's a very exciting time for the space industry.
Okay, so I'm really excited for you. So what's next? You have the clothing line. Do you, in your mind, or was it just in my mind that I saw a segue from your clothing line into the kind of apparel that people would wear for space exploration as well? Was this something that was something that you had thought about?
I have thought about that, actually. So for more in towards of the designing of different products, so have more, which is a more space related project. So it'll be like stars in the sky or planets. And that's what will be more on prints. And it would definitely represent the future space exploration and everything. But it is mostly catered to athletic and outdoor gear. And if I do end up on the International Space Station, I definitely will be wearing No Porter series gear.
Got to put it on. That's right. Your stuff. That's very exciting, Jessica. So I think that it's wonderful. And I'm wondering how you manage to stay focused when you're sort of entrenched in two things. And both things seem to carry the same weight. Your power line, from what I'm hearing, carries the same kind of weight in terms of endeavor as your space exploration aspirations.
Yeah, it does. It's actually, it takes a lot of concentration. You have to be organized when you're doing multiple things around the same time. And it's all, for me, it's all about checklist. So one day I would write down everything I need to do for spaceflight, and one day I need to do everything for No Porter series. And right now I'm pursuing a master's degree in human systems engineering. And my specialty is going to be in human performance. And with all that together, it's a lot of mental energy. It's a lot of mental energy. And it's about having a good team around you as well. So I have some great employees of No Porter series. I have a great teams with the Crew Astronaut Competition and all over. So it's about having the checklist, great support system, and take one step at a time. One step at a time. Just like climbing a mountain. You can't just jump to the top. You have to one foot in front of the other.
It's definitely a process. And it sounds like there's a tedium to it as well.
Okay, yes. Yes, I would say so. I would say so. It's about pushing forward, really.
So the No Porter series. Now, I noticed I went online and I see that you are one of the models. Are you all the models? I saw that you were actually wearing a wonderful tank top shirt, carrying a backpack, and it just looks very natural, very comfortable. It looks like it could be apparel that's for anything. So who are the people that were actually designing the clothing? Because you have images that are striking.
So I am designing part of the program, part of the clothing. So some of the designs I design myself. So I have a little bit of a designing background, but I also, the designs come from local artists from where I took the pictures. So from Nepal, I have a Nepali designer to design the products. But I also, for the clothing, to assemble it, I have a company in New York City. It's called DGoGo. I have one in Miami. Another one in Nevada. So all three of those locations, they stitch and sew the clothing together.
Yeah, and I'm thinking Nevada, and I'm thinking mountains. I'm thinking Las Vegas too. I'm just saying that it sounds like you went to Nepal, and I understand that the climate there is hot, and then you climb these mountains in Nepal, from what I understand from someone I knew years ago, it can be pretty chilly. So the gear is very important. Is that why you decided to use a designer from there? I'm just curious about how designs come about, because I have to say the designs are exquisite. They're beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Well, I wanted to just really keep the authenticity in that location. So I took the taking the pictures in Nepal, and having a designer in the United States who's never been to Nepal, they wouldn't really understand that context. They maybe see pictures of it, but then they don't understand what it's like for the air, the smell, and the sights of that location. So that's why I chose someone who was in that location. Yeah, and that's the main reason, is to get to receive that authenticity.
Yeah, and okay, that sounds like a smart thing to do. I can just see you probably designing apparel for the U.S. Olympic downhill skiers or something. I could imagine you doing something like that. It just comes to mind to me, you know, because I know that they do hire designers to design the things, the gear that people actually wear when they play sport in the Olympics. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. And it sounds like somebody that's, I mean, you were born in the South, you know, in the hot climate, but somehow you've seemed to be embracing colder areas.
Yes, I love the cold. I can't get enough of it. It was just quite strange to my family. But and it's interesting in the Himalayas, if we're going back to that, it's because when you first start trekking in the Himalayas, it's not actually cold. It's actually quite warm. And so you can be wearing a tank top and leggings. And then as you slowly ascend up the mountain, it gets chilly. And I love the cold because it's very, for me, it's very vibrant. It keeps you, it feels your, makes you feel like alive. And all your senses are vibrating. And that's one reason why I really enjoy it. But not so much 12 feet of snow, but I do enjoy the briskness.
Yeah, there's something about it. And my theory is that I keep better in the cold, you know, like a nice piece of meat, you know, you want to keep it refrigerated. It stays fresh. In the heat, forget about it. I feel like I rot in the heat, but that's me. But, you know, not that it's always a terrible thing, but do you think you'll ever design things for warm weather? Because I know there are these vests that are like cooling vests, and you can also use them for warming. And I've often thought, wouldn't it be nice? And they don't have many great designs that I've seen for this. It'd be nice. I actually own two of them. I just feel like if they could just design them so it was like a nice piece of clothing that you could sport and wear, like the vests especially, which are really excellent when you put them in the like refrigerator. I think when I was first in Georgia in Augusta, it was so hot and I had a cooling vest in a cooler, and then I put it on and it's like everything just changed. All of a sudden I could tolerate that oppressive heat down there.
It can be very, very hot down here in the South, but no protesters will in the winter time and the fall have vests and jackets and more and thicker hoodies as well. So of course it's not just a summer brand or spring. It will progress through winter and fall as well. So it's a year round brand. So look out for, you know, vests during September because they're going to be coming.
Hey, that's vest season. And I have to say, just so the audience knows, having looked at your line, and I know that there are other performance apparel lines out there. We all know who they are. The difference for yours, though, is that there's something about it that's a little, well, there's something about your line that has this creative edge when you know that you are either an artist yourself, Jessica, and or you've consulted with real live artists to design this for you. It's not so hard, cut and dried, I'll say. You know, there's something about it that speaks to the spirit in the design. Was that your intention, or was my interpretation right about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's about the journey. You know, it's about No Porter series, about, you know, expanding your comfort zone and taking responsibility for who you are as a person and for your environment. And that's why, you know, planting with every purchase is you plant a tree is to cater to your environment. You're purchasing leggings, yeah, because they look nice, but then also you plan to go out and be healthy with it. And that is part of that journey. And yes, it looks nice, but yes, it's part of that.
And so every sale you give back to the planet Earth.
Exactly. Every single sale.
And I just love that whole concept of giving back to the planet Earth, because we take so much for granted with her, you know? This is a beautiful thing that you're doing. What's your website so the audience will know exactly where to find you?
Yeah, it is www.noporterseries.com. And you can also find us on Instagram, which is noporterseries.com, all one word, all lowercase. And you can find us on our upcoming YouTube channel, where we're going to have yoga, some drone footage of some places that I've been on there. And that's going to be noporterseries.com or noporterseries on YouTube.
When will we get to see that? That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, that's going to be released out at the end of summer. So that's going to expand on the whole taking responsibility for your health and your environment. So no porters, they'll be able to have a yoga class to help them stretch if they're going out on an adventure or different exercise routines that they can do to get stronger to be able to be a no porter. So being able to carry their own weight up the mountain.
So it's almost like a theme of independence, you know, being self-sufficient to carry your stuff.
Exactly. And not to take away from porters, because porters are very, very important people in the outdoor industry, 100%. But I would say that if you're going backpacking, if you're out in the wilderness by yourself and you're carrying too much stuff, because I've seen it so many times, people have 8 bags and they're going on a 2-week trip, and you should be able to carry your own stuff.
8 bags. Ugh.
Yes, I've seen it. So I think porters are extremely important, and guides are very important, especially if you're going into a location you don't know. You need to have that guidance. But sometimes it's I like to have it as an example, as when it's your time to fly, you have to leave the nest. You can't just stay in the nest asking people to show you the way, but you need to actually go your own way and carry your own weight.
Carrying your own weight. It sounds like a beautiful thing, Jessica. I really am very excited for you. I kind of see it going far. I really do. I like that you're pretty much just going ahead and doing it. And it sounds, I like the confidence and also your intention and the fact that you're kind of assume that it's just going to be. You know, so often people go into different endeavors and they put up their own roadblocks, and you've just seemed to have had this. I don't know how you came up with it, but you're just going with it. And it's almost like there are no holds barred.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to actually maybe purchasing something from your site, because I've looked at the designs and I love them. They're beautiful and they seem very functional. I particularly like I like it all. I'm not going to say what I like. I like everything I saw on the site, and it sounds like you're going to be expanding it into other things. So when will you actually find out about this, getting back to your astronaut candidate thing? When will you find out if it's a contest, I understand, that you've entered? Am I correct?
Yeah, it's a competition. So we will find out. It's a 4 to 5 year journey. So it's not a 1 year journey. It's multiple years. And we will find out the final people who will be able to go to space. It's projected around 2023. Next year or in 2022.
I like 2022. I like those numbers.
I do too.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
2022. So,
yes. So there's my team right now is Submersible 6. That's what we call ourselves.
Okay.
And we're from Australia, Spain, Greece, France, Italy, and then the United States, from all over the world. And once a year, this year, it would have been this year, but because of COVID-19, it got postponed. So we meet and we do different challenges together and different tasks to understand our team dynamics and to oversee who works best together and who would be in the optimal team to go to space.
How did you all find each other?
Through the competition. How I found out about the competition is one of my colleagues, she told me about it and she suggested that I should apply. So I did.
Wow, that's excellent. And you're working with people from, you're working with people globally. I love that. Went to do things like that. It's amazing how you can like not have been to a place, but you feel like you have been to a place, especially when you can connect with actual human beings because of digital technology.
Exactly. It's absolutely fantastic. And the challenges so far, they've been in the United States, but they could be globally. But as competitors, we don't get to know all the details of what's going on in the competition, like where it's going to be, and until a few months before they announce where it's going to be.
How do you get past the language barrier, working with people from other countries that speak different languages?
Well, personally, I've dealt with a lot of cultural barriers, and I found that if they don't understand what you're saying, you have to say it in just in a different way, because everyone speaks English in this competition. And I can get away with a little bit of Spanish and whatnot, but it's not fantastic. It's about meeting that person where they are. So if they have a huge language barrier, maybe writing something down or pointing or making different gestures so they'll understand. And Google Translate is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, I know about that. It is very good, especially if you know a little of the language. It's just a beautiful thing.
Exactly. So using technology to decrease that barrier has helped a lot in my travels when I was in Nepal and Japan. China and Thailand. I would use Google Translate all the time. It would help.
Yeah, thank goodness. I don't know how we ever made it without that. I'm thinking about when I was your age, there was stuff, but there wasn't all this stuff. And for my generation, I love technology more than the average person I'd see in my generation. But I don't think it has anything to do with age. It has to do with intention. Like, how far do you want to be engaged on this planet?
Exactly. And I know before there was Google Translate and all that, I can kind of remember those days. I would still interact with different cultures. I would go out and buy the language dictionary. And then whenever I'm speaking to that person, I'll have the English and then just say it was Chinese. I would look through and say, okay, this is the English word. This is the Chinese word. And then I would write it down and try to write the whole sentence using the language dictionary. It definitely took a lot longer. So
yeah, I can imagine.
I definitely appreciate the
question. And then we as Americans tend not to be as good at that as I'd say our counterparts in other countries. You know, in Africa, I think most people speak at least two languages. In Africa and in Europe, God knows it goes on and on. So, you know, I think that it's when I hear about people doing things that you're doing, I think it's really good. I believe that effective communication is the key to world peace. I've always believed that. And I'm very impressed with you, Jessica. And I think that you're going to go far. You know, I want everybody to know your name. It's Jessica Clark, Jeska Clark. And her company is No Porter Series. And she's also involved in, what's the name of the program you're in for space exploration again?
It's the Advancing X's Career Astronaut Competition.
Yeah, that's a mouthful. It yes. is. See if you could shorten it for me, okay, next time. And I am just so thrilled because I can say I knew you when you were so young. And I was just impressed with you then, very much so. And you were always a very serious child. Because I think when I was that same age, I was more of a giggly thing. You were very serious. And I can see what actually happens. I'm very fascinated by your tremendous growth, your independence, and your knowledge. You're a smart kid. That's what I'm going to say.
Thank you.
And you were a smart kid back then. That's a cool stuff, cool beans.
I appreciate that.
We'll have to do a follow-up on this, you know, definitely. because I see this interview. I feel a part two coming on with this one. And thank you so much for taking the time, Jessica.
Of course. Thank you. It was a pleasure being on the podcast. It's fantastic. It's my first podcast. It was great.
The pleasure is all mine and the honor is mine. And thank you again. It's not often I get to interview somebody that I knew them when they didn't really have this in their head. I never dreamed we'd come to this point. But I mean, I know this is just the first of many interviews. So I thank, and I know this is just the beginning for you. You're going places for sure.
No, oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
You know, my thing is I'm glad I'm alive to be able to witness it. I have a good chance of witnessing more of it. But I'm going to say thank you to you, Jessica. Thanks again. And thank you to the audience. Thanks for coming to listen to the Energy Stoners Cafe. Someday I'll actually have a cafe and be interviewing people in it. Just mark my words, it's going to happen. But I thank everybody for coming and come back again next time. And if you want to communicate with me directly, please go to TonyQuestTV@gmail.com. I always love the feedback. And you can find me on LinkedIn. And you can also find me on Facebook. And thanks again. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.